I didn't know this, and maybe many of you didn't, but there's a band that comprises many of our most popular authors out there, and they're called the Rock Bottom Remainders. One of their members is Stephen King, who's with us on the phone. Stephen, good morning.
How are you?
We're doing great. This, of all the years we've done this show, can't believe you've never been on.
I can't believe it either.
Well, didn't know you were in a...
We must believe it, I guess. Hey, listen, are you guys going to have a parade for my team today?
Yes, of course we will. We didn't plan it, but we'll throw something together.
The Los Angeles Stephen Kings, right?
Are you a fan, or...?
It's my team, man.
All right, cool.
Well, the show...
Aren't they named after me?
Apparently they are now.
The show is Friday, June the 22nd, 8 o'clock at the El Rey Theater. The band, once while playing the Palladium, was joined by Bruce Springsteen.
that was so great.
And Bruce told them, he says, "You're not bad, but don't try to get any better. Otherwise, you'll just be another lousy band. After 20 years, we still meet his stringent requirements."
Good advice.
Stephen, wanted to ask you a question. I'm sure this won't offend, but it seems with the level of work that you put out, do you have ghostwriters?
No, but I can play ghost riders in the sky.
Well, something.
So no, all I that mean, work...
I don't have any ghostwriters. It's just me.
Now,
just me in a room.
Now, the other day, I saw, and it had been probably 20 years since I saw it, but I re-saw Carrie. And it holds up so beautifully well because of the fantastic performances of Sissy Spacek and Piper Laurie.
Yeah, that was a great movie. That was a great movie. You know, the first time that I saw that movie, it was an advanced screening. It was piggybacked on a movie called Norman, Is That You? with Red Fox. And my wife and I went down to see it. And we were like two little flecks of salt in a pepper shaker because it was, you know, it was a real sort of... a black audience that night, and I thought they're going to have real problems with this little suburban girl with her menstrual problems, but they got right in it, and there were two guys behind us that were the size of fullbacks, you know, and when that hand came out of the ground at the end, they just clutched each other, and one of them screams, "That's it, she ain't never going to be right." I thought we had a hit.
Yeah, well, you did, and with Misery, I don't know how that movie could have been better, but my question for you is, is it hit and miss for you? You know, you sell the rights, you do the whatever, and then you go to the movie theater and you see your book on screen. Do all of them work for you, or do some not?
No, a lot of them work for me. More work than don't, because I've got a really sort of generous personality. There are a few of them, like, I could do without Children of the Corn 7 and 8 and that sort of thing.
Sure.
My one unfulfilled wish was that Children of the Corn would meet the Leprechaun or Jason, because I'd like to see who'd win that. But there are a lot of them that I really like. I like Cujo, and I like The Shawshank Redemption. Misery, the Stand By Me. A lot of pretty good movies.
Really good.
One of my other favorites is The Dead Zone with Christopher Walken.
Terrific, yeah.
I really love that. Those of you that have never seen it or hadn't read the book, basically a guy is in a traffic accident. He's in a coma for like 5 years. And he wakes up with the ability to, whenever he touches someone, he can see their future.
Yeah.
And when somebody at one point brilliantly in the movie, they say, "Have you ever thanked God for this gift?" And Christopher Walken looks at him and goes, "Gift? You think this is a gift?" And Christopher Walken is, as always, phenomenal in that role.
Yeah, I mean, he's sort of developed into a comedy actor over the years, but he was a terrific, serious actor. Do you remember him in The Deer Hunter?
Oh, sure.
God. Oh, yeah. Scarred me.
Yeah, me too. I mean, great playing Russian roulette, and he just gives off those crazy vibes. But when you meet him in person, he's a terrific guy and funny, but in a really laid-back way. Sweet man.
Stephen, let's talk about the band, the Rock Bottom Remainders. This is going to be the all-Arthur band.
Yeah, tell everybody in your listening area, go buy a ticket, because just bring the cotton for your ears. Dave Barry likes to say, there are bands that specialize in easy listening. We specialize in hard listening.
Now, it's your 20th anniversary and final performance, and all-Arthur band. You play rhythm guitar, am I right saying that?
Yeah, sometimes I can actually be in rhythm, but I play rhythm guitar.
And now, is it cover tunes, originals? What is it?
We do a couple of original tunes, actually. Dave Barry's got a song called Proofreading Woman. It's a kind of a calypso thing. And there are a couple of other originals. I can't seem to write any music myself. I didn't try that.
That's interesting.
It's mostly covers. We try to find stuff, you know, that doesn't make us jump to that difficult fourth chord.
Oh, sure. Yeah, that's hard.
So we stick to a lot of stuff, you know, party tunes, House of Rockin', you know, Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Well, I love what you said. I'm going to read your quote about the band. You said, "I'm looking forward to reuniting with all my bandmates. We're older now, but not dead. Some of us can remember all of the words. All of us can remember some of the words. And none of us can remember all of the music. That's why they call it rock and roll."
Now, listen to the lineup in this band. It's Stephen King, Mitch Albom, Matt Groening, Amy Tan, Dave Barry, Scott Turow, Ridley Pearson, Greg Iles, Sam Barry, and Roy Blunt Jr. Stephen, do you guys ever talk shop?
Well, that depends on what you mean. If you mean writing shop,
yeah,
we generally just sit around and laugh a lot. They're a great bunch of guys, you know. Every now and then, we get around to talking shop. And actually, a book that I wrote came out of one of those discussions with Amy Tan.
Hmm.
I said to her, "What's the one question you never get asked when you do these appearances where you're a writer?" And she said, "Nobody ever asks about the language." And so I ended up writing a book called On Writing that was about the language. So, because I really related to that. Nobody really does ask about that. They'll ask about, where do you get your ideas, which is a question you can't answer, and they'll ask, how much money do you make, which is a question you don't dare answer.
Now, I've often wondered, you know, normally when somebody's going to sit down and write a screenplay, they're going to have a blueprint. They're going to have an idea of where the thing is going. Do you do that with a book, or do you just sit down and start writing?
Usually I have some kind of an idea. I have a place where I want to start, and a lot of times I'll be, like, driving or something, and I'll be rehearsing how I want that to go. But to me, that's like being a surfer, and you paddle out, and you look for a wave you can catch. And I think that most surfers would say you can't plan that ride. You can catch the wave. You can pick your wave that you want. But once you're on it, you ride it. And to me, it's like surfing. That's the exhilaration of it. So I know where I'm going to start, and I got a clear picture of that. And a lot of times I think I know where I'm going, and I end up someplace that's entirely different. There are writers. I know John Irving, and John Irving is a good friend of mine. He can't play music, I don't think, but, hey, neither can we. But, you know, he says that the first thing that he writes when he gets ready to write a novel is the last line. And to me, that would be like opening your Christmas presents on Christmas Eve.
Well, can we then use, for an example of what you're talking about, say, Shawshank Redemption, one of the greatest movies, one of the greatest stories ever. Where did that start?
I started to think about a guy digging a tunnel out of his prison cell behind a poster. And that was where it started. And then little by little, I started to think, well, I don't want him to tell this story. I want somebody else to tell the story. And so I found this guy who named Red, who says, "I'm the guy who can get it for you in prison." And I thought, a guy like that will be sort of hooked into everything. And
right.
He talks about his friendship. And it actually started, for me, it's like you pick the wave and you say, I want to write a story about a prison break, a really unique prison break. And then you end up writing about friendship instead.
What an honor it is to get inside your head. I mean, you're sharing some great things with us. Thank you so much. Now, the name of the band, again, is The Rock Bottom Remainders. It's the Past Our Bedtime Tour. Now, get a ticket Friday, June 22nd, 8 p.m. at the El Rey Theater. You can go to markandbryan.com for ticket information. And, Stephen, I'm just assuming, with hearing your sense of your great sense of humor and the other guys, there's a lot of talking on stage as well, is there not?
Yeah, we cut it up pretty good. I don't think we're doing Teen Angel this time, but Dave Marsh, the rock critic, and he's on the radio sometimes used to come out in a wedding dress covered with blood. I still got stage blood on my guitar strap from that.
Wow.
I wear it with pride, too, guys.
Stephen, we've run out of time on this segment. I don't know how busy you are. Is there any way that we could hold you for one more segment and take some phone calls?
I'm going to be right here.
Nice.
If you would like to ask Mr. King a question, your phone number here is 1-800-955-5567.
And Stephen, I'm sure you get this all the time, but I didn't know, we've never been on the show before, and I didn't know what to expect. I thought maybe creepy guy.
Yeah.
creepy guy. You're great.
Well hidden.
You're fantastic.
Here's one thing I can tell you about Stephen. He is a violent Red Sox fan.
Uh-huh.
I mean violent. Stephen, how's your team?
We suck this year.
I saw you at the World Series. I think it was Game 7.
On TV?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Steven was bent over the wall and banging onto the thing. I mean, he was making more noise than 100 other people.
It worked.
Yeah, it did. All right, we'll be back with your calls for Stephen King right after this. It's the Mark O'Brien Radio Program.